Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Hayley Hayes, and today we have a rather special guest. She's a powerhouse in the world of radio, a name you might recognise if you're a fan of BBC One Extra's Breakfast Show. Shaping the dynamic sound of the One Extra Breakfast Show with Nadia Jay and a Radio Academy trustee. Without further ado, let's get into it.
So this song I am dedicating, firstly, to anyone who's bereaved, particularly bereaved, my parents, people who've lost children, to let you know that there's life on the other side. It does get easier, right? Somebody shared something with me the other day, and I really, really want to quickly share it. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that your children choose you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so this is what I want to share. If you truly believe your children choose you, and they left you, they died and they left you, the amount of faith that they must have had in you to know that you will survive, you will go on, and you will be better is insane. So that is a level of faith that your child had in you. So if you've lost a child and you're broken and you're crying, let it go. They had faith in you. They knew you would be okay. So just wait to share that. So the next song that I'm going to play, a little emotional now. Right.
Yeah,
so the next
too.
Song I'm going to play, is anybody's lost anybody, today I need you to do what Dizzy says. He says, fix up, look sharp. Sunrise Selector
on. Food is to be eaten when you're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, outside, wherever you want to eat your food, you eat your food.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. I ain't got no inside and outside food. You just eat.
Yeah, we don't, but lots of people do. Like I said, the tweet got so many retweets, I couldn't believe it. All right, six, Hilton from Liverpool. Snack-sized Pringles are for plain convenience. How can man be dipping in full can on the road? I'm sorry. It's the hand, because the flavouring goes up your arm. Do you know what? I have to go. Bye. Get me out of it. Sorry. I'm actually in tears. Because imagine your arm goes in one way and comes out barbecue-flavoured. Mad.
Adele, I don't know where to start with you, to be honest. This year alone, you've won Producer of the Year for your Radio 1 Extra show. What goes through your minds when you're winning these awards? Do you still get surprised by them? And does the recognition change anything about how you approach your job or your show?
As we all know, when we're in radio, we're literally talking into a mic here. To imagine people are even listening and really pay attention to what we're doing is actually what really struck us the most, especially on that day, because the Arias came. And to be honest with you, we obviously were surprised, but then we had to leave early because we had breakfast the next day. So we couldn't stick around and party. So it's a case of really grateful. It's actually mind-blowing, and it's inspiring, and it's humbling to think that this little show that really and truly Nadia and I created out of nowhere. And again, I keep saying to people, it's such an interesting story that I was producing Dotty on One Extra, and then Dots left, and there was basically a vacuum. And I was told that to keep Nadia there for just, 3-4 months, because she'll be gone pretty soon. And that's kind of how it was. But then out of nothing, that not only did they say, let's keep her on, she then became this award-winning presenter. And so it's literally ideas we had for features that we kind of scribble on the back of postcards and that. And we kind of thought, oh, let's do this for this day, and let's try this. Because we thought, it's not going to last long. Let's have fun while we do it. And also, because it was born in the middle of lockdown, it meant that we really didn't have many people. Again, don't forget, back in those days, it literally was 2 people were allowed on the floor, and I would sit outside the studio because Nadia had to be protected. I had to be protected. So literally, in this kind of space where it's really quite sparse and we're doing what the best we can for now, to then think on a stage, blooming in front of radio royalty, saying, thanks so much for thinking about us, is mind-blowing. And then trotting off the stage and then getting KFC and then going home to get up to work the next morning. It's just, I don't know, humbling, really humbling. But it also makes you think, God, someone's paying attention, Adele, so you best not mess up.
Just tell me a bit about the team and what goes into the show, because it's not just one person that wins the award, even though it might be Nadia's name on the door. I heard a lady called Jasmine mentioned on the show the other day. Do you want to just tell me a bit about the actual team and what goes into the show?
not to sound like an advert or like a really cheesy professional, but it literally is, it has to be a family. So if you think about a contract, the way I see it, Nadia's name is at the top of the contract. Without her, there is no contract. But also my name is at the bottom. I have to sign it off. So unless I sign it, there's no contract. The people in between, the APs and the CAs, etc., kind of make up the meat of what we're doing. So to that end, we're quite a small team. Me and Nads, we have an assistant producer, Lisa, and we have Jasmine, who is a content assistant. And that's kind of the hierarchy of it. You'll notice as well, by the way, it's all girls. When we were recruited, it was sparse. People couldn't even come into the office. So it was really Providence has got us together. And I think, to your point before, actually one of the proudest things for me with that award wasn't that we won, but it's that we exemplified a real progression in the radio industry. Because as someone told me, she joined Radio 1, I don't know, about 10, 15 years ago. And she said in that time, the presence of women in senior positions was almost non-existent. So when you have us on the platform and it's all women and it's all sexualities and it's all varieties of black, white, mixed. And we're all up there. I remember Nadia grabbed Flossie's hand. Flossie was the assistant producer. Nadia's nose, a gorgeous black woman. Flossie's this gorgeous white blonde girl. And then I followed Flossie. And then Mel, our editor, again, stunning blonde, followed. So when we were up there, you just saw, it was literally like a cast of a Netflix show. It fully wasn't even planned that way. It just came that way because it came together and we worked together. So we know whose strengths make up for whose weaknesses, so that essentially we can push the name of Nadia J, which is essentially, let's be honest, the name of the One Extra Breakfast listeners, out to the forefront and make it just sound slick, make it sound calm, make it sound organic, and make it sound natural. And I think because we are also different, even in personalities, even in our hang-ups, even in our anxieties, we are all so different, but we make up for one another. So the fact that amongst us, we've got someone with ADHD, I have high functioning anxiety. We've got other people, in fact, two have got ADHD, and we've got left, right, up, down, inside out, much like the moving of a tide. It ebbs and flows, but you kind of know when it's coming. So even if we have, ultimately, as you can imagine, we're all functioning women, when there's a time where we're on the time of the month, even, it just flows. So we have a cupboard full of chocolate pads and, you know, paracetamol, and you know where to go, you know where to get it, but you get it in the time of the link, then you come back. Do you know what I mean? So we know how to manage stuff and like take care of one another. And I have a feeling, hopefully, that comes across, so that if Jasmine, who is our content assistant, has a really good idea, that I'm not going to know, because again, it's also intergenerational. So I am probably 10, 15, 20 years older than some of our other teams. So in terms of generation, in terms of provenance, in terms of experience, it's that variety, hopefully, within the team that then you hear come out through the speakers.
We spoke to Ray Paul the other day for the podcast, and he was one of the founding members of Radio 1 Extra. It's almost like the vision for Radio 1 Extra is encapsulated in that, isn't it?
First of all, big up Ray Paul. He got a fellowship. He is phenomenal. Listen, that guy is my mentor. So he rules things. But also, yes, you're absolutely right. It's, you know, things, it's an evolution and a revolution at the same time. How we interchange with cultures and how we interchange with, in fact, I read a survey somewhere. The growing section of society are those who are of mixed culture. So it's a different UK in 23 than it was in 13 or 3 or 1983. So essentially, you're right, the essential vision of One Extra to reflect black culture and essentially reflect British culture is still at the heart of what we do.
You've got the passion of like a 21-year-old. How do you keep that going? How do you wake up every morning and still stay inspired and motivated to not just create for your show, but just keep going within the industry? Where do you get that passion and inspiration from?
Well, first of all, thank you for likening me to a 21-year-old in any shape or form. I'm going to say thanks for that. I'm going to embrace it and keep it. Make me smile. Essentially, it's because I'm only here because of them ones there, that lot. The audience, those people, right? Outside. So if I don't let the creativity and the fervor and effervescence of the audience outside get into me, then what is the point? So I have to look at someone who's different to me and see, so what do you need? What can I do? How can I be? How can I invest in you? And when you see people who just, they're ignited by something, whether it's a song or a remix or an interview, or whether you're just walking down the street and they recognize something, or, you know, our voice notes on the show are wild. They're wild. They're so wild, in fact, that the audience members themselves have now become station sound. And I think people thought we went out and paid people to say, "What's up, Nadia?" But they didn't. It's actual real people. And there's one guy called the Gas Up Gas Man who, you know, fixes boilers. He would just call in. So because of that, I feed off of that energy. Because if it's just me in my little attic flat with my little, you know, Lily here and my little cup of tea, and it's just me, that's myopic. There's no point doing that. But I have to get my energy from other people, because that's why I'm here. If it wasn't for them, I would not be here.
I think also one of your passions is, though, the importance of diversity and representation. Do you think the radio industry can still do more to reflect everyone in society, or do you think we've got there?
There's definitely an improvement. There's no question about it. Absolutely not. However, I think what I found in my little 2 decades here is that we're really good at getting in. Let's get some young talent in at entry level. Great. And then there's nothing for them to do. So they're entry level and they're doing the basic stuff and they're learning and they're growing. But the middle bit is where they become stuck. Also at the top, where of course there's less diversity, but there is some, there's training for senior managers. But it's that glut in the middle that just doesn't move. In terms of representation, you and I between us can think of names and presenters and shows that have made a point of saying, here we are. We are representing the others other than. So it's not just an average white guy. It's now women, and it's desi, and it's black, and it's et cetera, et cetera. So they're making a point of saying, we are representing the population. But behind the scenes, I think it tells a different story, because the people who really can make the choices are still not in that diverse space. So I think it's work that we need to do in the boardrooms and in recruitment, and also in training, and also in HR, so that even if you have someone who wants to go for a job, they know what they need to say, as opposed to just letting them go and say, good luck, everyone, and then leaving them. But I've been thinking about this a lot. If we go, and I will speak on behalf of who I am, because that's the safest thing. So as a woman who is black, my mother worked on the NHS. She was invited to come here to work on the NHS. She was a midwife for 30 years. My dad is from Sierra Leone. He was a lecturer at LSE. He used to teach sociology. So the fact is that they came and they have a certain trajectory, right? So we're taught as kids to do what mum and dad did. But if we do what mum and dad did, they were sort of thought, they come here, keep your head down, keep your nose clean, just work really hard and someone will notice what you do. Gone are the days, my friend. Gone are the days when that happens. Now you have to know your worth, but also make sure someone sees it. You have to know your worth, but also understand what it is you need to say in those rooms. So if you have an increase in impact, an increase in influence, say as we have some influencers, you need to know what to do with that once you get in there. And my thing is, there are some people of diverse communities who are never really taught what to say, how to chat the big game when you're in the boardroom. You know how to work hard on the buses and work really hard in the factories, work really hard on the hospital wards, and you have integrity and you have a work ethic. But there's a different kind of nous that comes with having to be in the boardroom and level up and look face to face with the people that you need to convince, chat to, almost placate, but also maintain your integrity. And that, I think, is a real kind of special dance we need to do that we haven't learn. And so that is what I think will help the radio industry. It is that thing of building on what your parents have done to get you in a place where you can be at Radio One, for example. But then once you are in that boardroom, that's when you speak up and you make sure that you are polite and you are charming and you are, more than anything, honest. And then that's how you progress.
Your breakfast show obviously is a full-time gig. Even though you come into it, the end of it, your trusteeship and your mentoring that you do at the Radio Academy, that's not enough to keep you busy. You're also vice chair of Multi-Story Orchestra. Can you tell me more about what Multi-Story is?
It's an orchestra that performs extraordinary music in ordinary places. I had to rehearse that. That's what it is. So things like the ethos actually is that we want to make sure that the doors that were once stuffy and closed and, you know, kept out diversity are now open. So we will literally perform in car parks. The first time I ever went there, my friend brought me. I was listening to Rachmaninoff or something on the top floor of a of a car park, an open air car park. And because it's open air, you can literally hear the trains rumbling past. And I'm thinking, what's going on? And you got seats like, you know, when you're in your like nursery school, the little benches. So there's no, you know, cocktails, there's no kind of padded seats. There's juxtaposition of what is meant to be or considered high culture with common culture that completely fascinated me. And essentially it's kind of what I feel we should all be doing, really. It's not to say that there can never be a place, by the way, for classical orchestral music to live in the Royal Albert Hall. It just means that that's not the only place it lives. And again, we can even talk about radio and talk about what we do. It doesn't mean to say there's never any space for a certain type of person. It just means that for it to be closed off is the issue.
And then, so what's your role in the organisation?
Do you know, I just showed up and said, can I help? I know I'm not particularly great at stuff like, you know, I don't have a legal mind. I'm not, you know, adept at HR, but I do know people and I do know psychology. And I do know about how to get people to their very best. I do also know how to set boundaries, etc. So I just said, can I help? And they're like, yeah, do it. And so now I'm involved in recruitment. As you said, I'm the vice chair. It's now, and what's really exciting at the minute is that we've reshaped stuff, right? So now we've pivoted. So now we've changed the organization so that young people are actually at the big heart of what we do. So for example, when the guys are not in the orchestra, because as you know, a full-time musician is you got to work, you know, it's like acting, you got to make money, you got to pay bills. So they were teaching music in a local school. And it just so happened that, unfortunately, and this is a school in South London, unfortunately, one of the young boys there had been stabbed, had died. So the student said to this teacher, can we write a musical or can we write a music or can we do something to reflect what this is? So she was like, absolutely, let's start writing, let's start creating, let's do something. And that turned out to be something called The Ends. So what happened was these young students then wrote kind of a musical and they rapped, but together with the orchestral arrangement behind it. And when they first rehearsed with the orchestra, I remember my friend saying that one kid said, oh, it sounds like the synth, because they'd never ever heard violins, they'd never heard actual harps in real life, only in the confines of a synthesizer. And that, to me, I've realized that's what we need to do: access to stuff so you can hear stuff, so you can do stuff. And it's really that sense of creativity, and it's really that sense of play, and that really that sense of expression that makes us human, brings us down to a human level, because we all have ideas and we all have hopes and dreams. But if we can think about stuff and imagine stuff and create stuff and kind of work stuff together, that is the strength of why we're here.
Sounds like everything you do is all about the shared human experience. I have to ask, what do you think is next for Adele? I know you love your job. You clearly still have a great passion for it. 5 years time, 10 years time, do you have a goal or a dream that you haven't accomplished yet?
All I know at this state in time is that I don't think I can still be getting up at 4 a.m. in 5 years' time. I will happily hand that baton over to someone else. As for me, I'm so caught up on the fact that everyone's got a story and everyone has a voice that I would hope I will say that I will still be in an industry where words are important. I think that's important to me, whether it's singing, music, whether it's writing a script, documentary, whether it's using my voice. Words are so important in how we use words and the way we use words. In 5 years' time, when you and I meet up for a drink in the pub, I'll have a Guinness in black, we will be discussing what I'm doing, and it will still be to do with words because they are so powerful. That adage that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is absolute rubbish, by the way, because you can destroy a person by their words and you can also build them up by their words. So I think it will be around words.
So how do we keep up with you and The Breakfast Show? Do we just keep an eye on your Twitter?
Do you know what? Just check out Nadia J, One Extra, Breakfast, 7 to 10 a.m., Mix and Blend, One Extra. Actually, if you do follow Nadia J, you will see her and Lisa and Jasmine dancing, some kind of dancing to the mixes. Because I will say one thing, # when the mics are down and they're playing music, we're literally dancing in the studio. 7 a.m. disco, get you out of bed.
And there you have it. A huge thank you to my incredible guest, Adele Cross, for sharing her passion, insights and expertise with us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the Radio Academy podcast if you haven't done already, so you don't miss the next episode. Until then, bye for now.